Hey, it's Dan Patrick. Here's your chance to score with Maaco Auto Body Shop. Join us in San Francisco for Super Week. That's right, a trip for two, airfare, hotel stay, and VIP access to see us do our show. Maaco also giving away 5 free paint jobs and 10 swag bags. Enter daily for a chance to win. Get official rules at danpatrick.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Open to contiguous U.S. D.C. residents 18 or over. Ends 11/23/25.
Friends of History Debating Society, I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations. Just a few minutes for the professor to comment on the success of Tsai Ing-wen's tour of America, North America, from New York to Central America to visit Belize and Guatemala City, on to Los Angeles to visit with the Speaker of the House. And at the end of the week, after Chinese threats were tossed around in all languages, there were some warplanes who flew over the Taiwan Strait. The attitude in Taipei was, what else you got? The understanding was maybe China was constrained because the general secretary was walking and talking with Macron. Maybe China was constrained because, fill in the blank, McCarthy didn't travel to Taipei as Nancy Pelosi has as Speaker of the House. Professor, just a few minutes, your thoughts about Taipei's very successful week.
Well, the first thing to understand is that the whole Taiwan problem is one that the United States created itself as a result of a thoroughly misguided China policy, first under Nixon and Kissinger, and then far worse when Brzezinski took over. The whole premise of American diplomacy until about 10 years ago, and maybe not even that, was that Taiwan was a puppet state of no importance, that China was effectively would be an ally of ours against Russia, and the minute that we cut relations with Taiwan, as we finally did in January 1st, 1979, that there would be collapse in Taipei. It's not clear to me that Mr. Kissinger, whose scenario this is, has ever even been to Taiwan. I always tell him to invite him, you know, give him a doctor of laws or something. But I don't think he has really no familiarity with it. But he said that all of the elderly leaders in Taipei would be so shocked that they would all keel over, and that the people of Taiwan would rise up. And therefore, he felt that, and he said this to the Chinese explicitly, that within just a decent interval of a couple of years at most, Taiwan would collapse, prove to be totally unviable as an independent state, and it would then, the leaders would hand it over to Beijing. And this was 44 years ago, and we had a kind of we still follow a let's pretend policy, even though we don't acknowledge or recognize that Taiwan is Chinese territory, and we certainly don't recognize that China is the legitimate ruler of Taiwan. We nonetheless, for reasons that don't really make sense, do not treat Taiwan as a nation state, which it is, and it's very, very successful. And it's also of vital strategic importance to Japan. And what's happening now is that 1979, that was a kind of decision point. And basically, that was when China could have gotten Taiwan, maybe, if it hadn't been for the fact that that Taipei and Beijing were, Zhou Enlai was talking to Chiang Kai-shek every day after he talked to Kissinger. So Taiwan had complete information and intel dominance for the whole period. And this connection between Taipei and Beijing only ended, I think, in 1990, perhaps. And it's documented both by a very, very fine retired diplomat, and I confirmed it in China with absolutely unimpeachable source. So we were keeping all these secrets from the United, from our people, but the Taiwans are completely prepared. So what has happened is that instead of sinking and collapsing, Taiwan has risen to developed nation status. She's a democracy. She has very good military establishment, although we, for 30 years at least, have tried to isolate her and undermine her and sink her. And, of course, the Taiwans all know that, so that doesn't help our relationship with them. But the changes in the international balance of power, and particularly the rapprochement between China and Russia, have made our China policy, the one that was the sort of the Nixon-Carter China policy, essentially it doesn't fit reality anymore. But no one wants to change it. Although what's happening is that Taiwan's becoming so important that even if it's not recognized as a state, it will be treated as a state. And if we are involved in hostilities to defend Taiwan, then how can we defend a country that we don't even recognize?
Would you, Professor, reason that this was a good week for Taiwan then?
Yes, I think it was a very good week for Taiwan. And we can see, if you want a thermometer of how good a week it was, the Chinese were threatening all kinds of ghastly things. They sent 42 planes and 8 ships out yesterday. But among other things, the presence of the Nimitz just off the east coast of Taiwan may have constrained them a bit. Also, Japan is the power that is most threatened by encroachment on Taiwan, and the Japanese are very, very good. They have very, very good military equipment, and they read the Chinese far better than we do.
In our final minute, Professor, would you say then the threats from Beijing were Potemkin threats? That Beijing is out of money, out of time, and they have to make these threats to make it look like they're tough guys?
Well, I am very cautious about saying this, but here is what I believe. Provided that we have robust deterrence in Asia, provided that we have strong alliance structures in Asia, and we do, because the countries that are allied with us, and they swing all around from India to the Philippines, these are countries with which we share fundamental values and interests. And as long as we keep that deterrence strong, then I think it's that Mr. Xi is more interested in being in charge than he is in being the conqueror and liberator of Taiwan. If he started that war, it would be a disaster for all, and he would certainly not survive it. So I always make that predicate, because if we go soft, one of the problems with Taiwan's undetermined status is that it's like a stock, as they say, that's in play. And I once asked Foreign Minister Yang why they don't moan about Mongolia, which is much more important and was under Chinese rule for hundreds of years, whereas Taiwan's never really been under Chinese rule. I said, why don't you moan about Mongolia? Well, one of the reasons is that Mongolia is a recognized international state. But because Taiwan is not so recognized, and because the United States has very foolishly followed this policy of strategic ambiguity, it's just an insane policy. It's much more dangerous, because you're going to gamble, well, maybe if we hit him, then the president won't do anything. I mean, if you look at the number of things that Obama didn't do anything about, it's really quite frightening. And he also blacklined the Raptor, and we could sure use a couple hundred more Raptors. But in any case, I think that provided we keep deterrence and alliance in place, that China is not going to just start a war. She could stumble into one, though, because she's got all kinds of people wandering around in various kinds of ships and planes and stuff. And all you need is one accident and or one overzealous Chinese, and you could then get an escalatory cycle. I'm in favor of recognition of Taiwan as Taiwan, and tell people we made a mistake. The Kissinger policy was, I would argue, is the most misguided and ill-conceived policy in American foreign policy history.
Professor H.J. Mackinder, international relations, commenting on Taiwan's very good point of view. Still no resolution on the documents released on Twitter and Instagram these last days. And the next time we come back, we'll have more information about those documents and whether they're valid or not. Remember, Reuters has not verified their credibility, and I hesitate, always hesitate in wartime. Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.